we got to mention how hilarious that is that they hired promoted Hudson.
Now,
I guess.
Now, if Greg Hudson got a job in the SEC, then I'd be like, you know, maybe he might succeed.
I cannot believe they promoted Hudson. That's going to be their answer. Oh my God.
The fact
oh
that
my
even
God.
Hudson's on their staff to be promoted.
Well, I think he's a decent linebackers coach.
Okay.
Maybe not as
weren't that bad the last couple of years.
But. And he did, and he's responsible for building that up, him and Freeman.
I remember when the Packers hired Ron Zook as the special teams specialist. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Thankfully, that's not the worst of the Packers' issues right now. But still, it's like, we have freaking Ron Zook on the team still.
Did the Packers win today?
Yeah, after almost blowing a 31-3 lead.
So whenever you're ready, I can do our intro. I know you put the music in later, so.
Yeah, I highly doubt we'll have a cold open. We'll see what I work in with me ranting about Ron Zook.
The Zooker, head water skiing coach.
Anyway.
Welcome back to the Hammer and Rails podcast. I know that we have been missing for a couple of weeks here, but we've finally managed to scrape together some time to actually podcast. It is myself, T-Mill, leading things off, and coming to us from the Double A's in Michigan, we have Juan Crespo on the horn with us too.
How's it going, everyone? Oh, anyway, they can't respond. What is the story of the Explorer?
It's those sultry, sultry Hispanic tones of our Latin Lothario. Juan Crespo.
As soon as I asked how everyone's doing, I'm like, wait, it's only two of us here.
And Mrs. T-Will just heard me. She's like, if you two need a moment alone, Juan is the only one on with us today because Casey and Drew either A, chickened out, or B, passed out drunk. I'm betting for B. And in fact, my money would be strongly on B. But we do have some good news to talk about today, as Purdue actually scored more points than an FBS football team. So that hadn't happened. Yeah. Celebrate. Only the fourth time ever under Daryl Hazel that they have done such a feat. And really, we don't have a right to be picky. We shouldn't care that it came over Nevada, a team that is so bad they actually lost to Notre Dame. I mean,
they made Notre Dame's defense look good for one game.
Yeah. And speaking of Notre Dame's defense, we were going to talk about this later in the podcast, but this is the perfect segue for it. All right. This is your 2 minutes, everybody, to laugh hysterically that Notre Dame has promoted former Purdue defensive coordinator Greg Hudson to their defensive coordinator for the dearly departed Brian Van Gorder. Imagine that. Notre Dame is turning to Greg Hudson to save their season.
As I was saying, Nebraska, Mike Riley, I don't know what he could do. Fire whoever their defensive coordinator is and hire Brian Van Gorder so that we could have a circle of laughter, because Nebraska fans laugh at us for hiring Ross Ells. Now we're laughing at Notre Dame for hiring Greg Hudson. So now, and obviously, Brian Van Gorder has to go to Nebraska to complete the circle of suck.
Oh, yes, yes. And I think it's with good reason that Nebraska fans are laughing at Ross Ells. They warned us. They tried to warn us over the summer. But our administration did not listen. So here we are. And I do have to give Ells credit, though. His defense responded yesterday. They actually got some stops. And we held a team to less than 100 yards rushing. We held a team to almost 50 yards rushing. So,
this is true, but a better team would have taken an advantage of four Purdue turnovers.
This is true. This is true. I agree with that. But
again, we'll take the win, but I'm taking it with a grain of salt, you know?
Yeah, we're taking it with an entire salt lick of salt at this point. As I said yesterday, it's not often that we've been able to compliment this coaching staff, and I think that they actually earned a couple of compliments because Purdue did respond to those four turnovers. They only gave up 14 points off of them, and usually under Hazel, this is a team that when they face that type of adversity, they fold. And down 14-3 yesterday, surprisingly, they did not. They actually got better and responded. What did you see there, Juan?
It was hard to tell, but yeah, like the defense just stepped up and made sure Nevada wouldn't score. Now, whether it was that Nevada being bad or Purdue stepping up being good, time will tell. But it's a step in the right direction, I think.
I think the biggest one was late in the game. It was your typical spot for Purdue to fail, and Nevada had first and goal at the three. And usually in that situation, we know we're giving up the touchdown. I mean, it's just it was setting up perfectly to give up that touchdown where you fall behind late, and then the backbreaking interception follows as Purdue's driving to try and either tie or get the lead back. But it didn't happen. DeJuan Hunt had a couple of good plays. He especially had the one where he got the 2 yard loss as they strung him out there on second down and pushed, I think it was their quarterback, out of bounds. And then a 5 yard loss on third down, a 5 yard loss on a critical third down. Where did that come from?
Yeah.
But I mean, the defense got better, and I've got to give them credit, and then got to give Terry Malone, the gambler, credit for the run-pass option and actually going for the throat as opposed to meekly falling down and running out the clock or hoping to run out the clock or even giving them the ball back, still down three.
And I'm looking here at the play-by-play. Purdue didn't punt at all yesterday. Now, granted, for those drives that end in turnovers, but in all these, not a single punt.
Yeah, that was surprising, too. The punting team was on the field once, but Darryl actually had them run the fake punt, which was another shocking moment of the day, is they ran a critical fake punt. It didn't work, but he ran the fake punt.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at that. That was at the Nevada 33. At that point, it's like, you should be going for it anyway. I always feel, you know.
Unless you're down 14 at home and you're at the Cincinnati 36. But
yeah. I made the mistake because I was... For the viewers who don't know, since I'm in Michigan and I want to watch good football, I have season tickets for Michigan football. And for the Cincinnati game, it was at the same time as Michigan. I DVR'd it. I'm like, I know the score. I'm just going to go back and watch the Cincinnati game, see how the hell we screwed up. And oh, gosh, that was just... As soon as I finished watching that, I had to erase it off my DVR.
Lest it taint other football that you're watching on your TV. Gotcha. Right.
Because I just saw, like, the score updates in the game. Like, I had no idea what was going on. So I'm like, okay, let me see how we screwed up. Like, Blau getting nowhere. And then I'm like, wait, we're going down the field. We're in the red zone. What? Oh, interception. Oh, fumble. Just, oh, we missed an easy field goal. Come on. It's those kind of things that are so killer.
And really, some of those were corrected yesterday. I mean, we have to give Dellinger credit that he did make a field goal. And that's, you know, we can't take that for granted either. Right. Blau did, or not just Blau, but Bryson Hopkins, before Blau's just god-awful interception, Hopkins dropped what was a sure touchdown. And there was some discussion of, was it overthrown? Was it, you know, was it a bad throw by Blau? That happened right in front of my seats, and it was a catchable ball. It's in his hands. And he didn't have to stretch too much for it.
But then that interception he had at the end, when they were showing the replay, Blau knew that was a bad pass the second he threw it out of his hands. But you could see he was running towards the defender as soon as he threw it. It's sort of like following your three when you're, I mean, basketball's coming up. So we got to start bringing up the basketball references again to get our viewers back.
47 days.
Yes.
46 by the time this goes out. So.
Oh, yeah. This is true.
It's interesting because that play that we ran there on Blau's interception, that's my goal line play when I play NCAA 14. And that's my throw, always to the fullback out of the backfield. And
so we know how Hazel has been preparing.
And it's funny because I always know, it's like, oh, if the fullback's wide open, yes, chuck it to him. But if I see that, if I see the defender there, no, I don't throw the fullback. I try and go for the tight end or something. And it's almost like he didn't see the defender. And I'm like, no, don't hit the square button. You hit the square button.
Well, he had another one, too, in the second quarter. It was like a lob to the fullback. But the defender was in between him the whole time. And the defender easily knocked it down. Should have intercepted it, really. Those were two of Blau's mistakes yesterday, I think. But overall, he didn't improve. He is the winningest quarterback now under Hazel.
Yes, three wins. No, wait.
Yeah, three wins.
No, this was only – no, he didn't have the win over Indiana State last year. This was only his second. So he's tied with Appleby and Edling still.
No, because you got to remember there's also the Eastern Kentucky win from this.
Oh, yes. So, yes, you're right. Three wins. Congratulations, David Blau. You are now the winningest quarterback under Darryl Hazel. Yes.
And don't worry, in a few weeks, people will call for your head. Sindelar will start over you. And then next season, you'll be starting at Ole Miss.
A few weeks. People were calling for his head in the second quarter.
If Casey and Drew were here, they would be ripping on Bilal right now because they were ripping on him during our group chat. I mean, personally, for me, I'm defending Blau, not because, like, I think Sindelar could improve the offense on the short term, but part of me is just like, I'm so sick and tired of changing quarterbacks. Purdue hasn't had the same starting quarterback for every game since 2009 with Joey Elliott. Because in 2010, the year of the ACLs, 2011 is when we had the binary system with Caleb Turbush and Robert Marvin again in 2012. And then 2013 was when Hazel started the carousel of quarterbacks. So for once, maybe, just maybe, we can stick to the same starting QB. Because at this point, we should realize the quarterback is not the issue.
And really, yes, he had some mistakes yesterday. And some were egregious. I know you mentioned that he had the other dropped interceptions and everything else. But he did get better. I mean, he had the throw to... I mean, that was a very heady play to recognize and see that Hopkins was open for the clinching touchdown. If you watch the replay, I know he has already tucked the ball and was prepared to run. And then he sees how open Hopkins is. So I got to give him credit there for being able to make that play and get downfield. He had the other touchdown to Marshall was another good throw, and you got to give credit to Marshall. I think he was a bit of an unheralded receiver yesterday too, because he had some really big catches. He had a couple of big first downs, and then the way that he was able to fight off the defender in the end zone for that touchdown was pretty much a similar play that had been intercepted a few weeks earlier against Cincinnati when I think it was the first interception of the game where he tossed it up to, was it Posey? Yeah, it was Posey. And Posey wasn't able to fight him off in the air. So you got to give credit to Marshall for going up and getting that, and to Blau for making the throw, too. So moving forward on football, I guess, we have Maryland coming up, the Terrapins. And even though it's a conference game now, and I still can't believe it's a conference game, we're seeking revenge for the 2006 Champs Sports Bowl, aren't we?
Oh, yes. I mean, I wasn't a Purdue fan back then, but I will embrace the revenge if I have to.
Embrace the revenge, embrace the hate. Were you even at Purdue then, or were you in high school?
No, I was still living under the shadow of the Golden Dome at the time.
Oh, my.
I was all about Charlie Weiss back then.
Oh, my. You had a distinct
return to glory.
Schematic advantage. No, Return to Glory was Ty Willingham, I'm afraid.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. It was the Tradition was the t-shirt that year, I think. I can't remember. They all just went together at this point. Yeah, it's looking back when I was an Notre Dame fan, it's like looking back on an ex-girlfriend. It's like, why did I date her? But then I remember I was just so young, so naive. How would I have known better? That was the only thing I knew back then.
Now, see, if you were a girl, you would be able to get away with the, I can't believe I've let you put your dick in me.
Damn, was not that far.
Oh, I could make some other comments here, but then the FCC would step in. And I know the FCC doesn't control podcasts, but the FCC would still step in that regard. But anyway, back to Maryland. I regret to tell our listeners out there that we are pretty much guaranteed to lose to Maryland now for two reasons. One, Hazel has yet to win back-to-back games. If he hasn't done it by now, I don't see it coming. And two, I am going to the game. Yes, I am driving from Indianapolis all the way to the D.C. area. I'm going to be watching this game in person with my family. Ledman is going to be there as well. And Purdue's record when I go to see them play on the road, especially for the first time in a venue, is not good. The only Big Ten venue they've won during my first visit was Northwestern. And bear in mind, this will be my 10th Big Ten venue I've seen them in other than Ross-Ade.
That's not bad. I'm only up to five Big Ten venues right now, so.
Now, after this, all I have to do is go to Nebraska, Iowa, and Rutgers. And that includes, I've been to both Minnesota, the Metrodome, Minnesota, and TCF Bank Stadium. And we lost both of those games that I was at, so.
Uh-huh.
At least it's getting I don't know if I want to say at least here, but it is getting progressively worse, because at first it was close losses or heartbreaking overtime losses. Like, I was at the Indiana game in 2001 where they lost by 6. I was at the Illinois game in 2002 where they lost in overtime. I was at the Minnesota game in 2005 where they lost in double overtime. I was at the Ohio State game in 2003 where they lost in overtime. Now they're just progressively getting crushed every time that I go to a place, like Michigan in 2007 or Michigan State in, I think it was 2008 or something.
So, I mean, it's like they're not even favored to win these games, at least. So it's not like you're bringing bad luck.
Yeah, this is true. And I have other things that I'm going out there for. Like, I'm going to see the Cubs play in Pittsburgh on the way out. I'm going to see a game at the Nationals Park. I'm going to tour Washington, D.C. So the inevitable Peru loss on Saturday is only going to be a slight nick on the trip overall. So, but it's Purdue's first trip to Maryland too. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. How many Purdue fans will be showing up in our nation's capital for this one?
I wouldn't bank on a lot, but who knows? Last time I heard, tickets were still kind of cheap for this game on StubHub. Yes,
I managed to get for $13 a piece. We are sitting on the 50-yard line behind Purdue's bench, about 8 rows up.
You must have bought them at a good time, because now I'm seeing them as cheap as $22, but in the upper decks.
Oh, well, so when I was looking earlier, it was about $7.
With Maryland's 3-0 start, that's probably helping a little bit. So, and it's also their homecoming.
Yes, this is the first of, I think, 3 homecomings we're involved in this year. I know we have Maryland, I know we have our own, and I think we have one more later on, but I'm not sure.
That sounds about right. I think it might be Nebraska's homecoming.
That wouldn't surprise me. They're kind of angry after they lost to us last year. But yeah, that happened, Nebraska. You lost to Purdue last year. So anytime that you think you're good, you lost to Purdue last year.
And we took Ross Ellis, so it's even. We're even now, okay? Crap, we'll take Bo Pelini as our head coach if Hazel gets fired at the end of this year, you know?
That's a good way to segue. If Hazel gets fired, we could get Les Miles. Let's start it right now.
I want, as much as I want Les Miles, like, part in my back of my mind, it's like, it's not going to happen. I just know it's not.
I know it's not going to happen, but okay, if it did happen, imagine if it did happen, if we were able to go out there and shock everybody by getting Les Miles to West Lafayette. I don't even know. I would be beside myself with joy. A guy that was winning, he never won less than 8 games, and most times he won 10 games. He played for 2 national championships and won one. What the hell were you thinking, LSU? Jeez.
Yeah, it's, and the fact that they fired him now, because they're afraid that he would improve throughout the year and make it harder to fire him later.
And then they paid him, what, $14 million in a buyout?
Exactly. So, come on, Les. Play for us. We'll give you a challenge.
Right. I mean, you've got enough money in the bank. I mean, maybe that helps Purdue if they were to give him a call.
You know, land around West Lafayette is cheap. He could probably buy the entire city if he wanted to.
I mean, here's another factor. Here's another factor. Michigan didn't hire him a few years ago when they went after Rich Rod. And isn't he a Michigan man?
Technically, yes.
Ah, but and who's on the schedule?
But
who's
given
on the schedule next year? Who's
Michigan
on the schedule next year?
That's our homecoming game next year. I definitely plan on coming. I'm going to call that. For me, that game's going to be the return of the prodigal son, even though I go to many Purdue games.
Yes.
But first of all, I can guarantee you that Michigan fans, in hindsight, are like, well, this has worked out so far. So.
No, we got to get him. He's got to come back, because he wants revenge. He wants revenge that they didn't bring him back to Ann Arbor. Yes.
I mean, many people were pointing out, well, no, because he was hired. I think Dave Brandon was trying to interview him, but Dave Brandon being Dave Brandon, if you thought Morgan Burke was a bad athletic director, just look at Dave Brandon. Completely screwed up getting Les Miles back then, too. So I mean, obviously, many people have pointed out that there's no way Les Miles is going to come to Purdue. And Tom Fornelli, I think he works for the he works for CBS Sports. That's what it is. But he's based out of Chicago.
And I know he used to do our the Champagne Room, I believe, too, for us in SB Nation.
Yeah. So I was about to say Chicago Tribune, but I was wrong there. But no, he was saying, like, that's obviously not going to happen. And so we jokingly responded to him, shunned and unbelievers. He said, PJ Fleck would be the best option. So I responded on the Hammer and Rails Twitter, yes, we shall row the boat down the Wabash to the Ohio, to the Mississippi to get Les Miles.
Yes. And while I would like PJ Fleck, I definitely think PJ Fleck would be...
He's a more realistic option, I think.
Yes, he would be more realistic. I think most likely it would be Fleck. It's not looking like Sumlin's going to be available right now.
No. Texas A&M would have to collapse in order for Sumlin to get fired and make it available for Purdue, because then we'd have to buy out Sumlin out of A&M. I think.
And that's not going to happen.
No, if we have to buy out Hazel's contract. I mean, we could probably try to force Hazel to resign, but, you know, that's probably not going to happen either.
I had a good one yesterday when I think we were, it was while we were down 14-3. It was the, no, we're definitely not trying to find a way to frame Hazel for NCAA violations. That way we can fire him for cause. If somebody can do that for us, we're not going to stop you.
Okay, in 2 years, we'll have a lawyer on our staff. So
yeah, I think that makes it binding. Don't ask us. Don't add it. You know, I don't think that makes it binding, but maybe it does. If Ledman's not here to defend himself, so yeah.
we just assume he's going to be our lawyer when
we're going to have him on retainer.
Mm-hmm. When Travis drops the hot takes piece in a few years.
I mean, how much did it take for Walt to get Saul on? It was what, $1 to get Walt on for that attorney-client privilege. So I mean.
Oh yeah, and he had five, but he had $5 and he couldn't give him change, so he got ripped off there.
Ah yes.
But, you know, just like true. A good lawyer ripping him off.
And I don't think that Ledman's going to help us start a meth empire, unfortunately.
No, I don't know that kind of science, unfortunately.
Ah, oh, that's right. You could. Oh, and now we have Ledman being Saul Goodman. We've really fallen down a hole here.
This is what happens when we try to talk about Purdue football, even after a win. We're just like, yes. I really want to talk about this.
we're like, wait, we can get Les Miles because he wants to get. So
but it's just
to
so summarize. Sad. It's just so sad that the last 3-4 years of Purdue football, the highest point has been, holy cow, Les Miles has been fired. There's a 0.5% chance he could end up at Purdue. Like, that is the
high point. And that's probably high. That's probably a high percentage.
That is the high point for Purdue football in these last couple years. Like, I was smiling on my face when I heard about this. And it's, like, so sad that this is our high point, that he's getting fired from somewhere else and he's not even going to end up here.
But how much would we love Mike Bobinski if he did that?
I would join the John Purdue Club in a heartbeat. Oh, I'd be like, take my $200. There you go. You have me now.
I mean, that's a way to make a statement. You fire Hazel, and then you're like, yep, we're going after Miles, and here's a detailed timeline for the Ross 8 improvements with the new scoreboard, the new South End Zone project, the lights, everything else. We're doing this.
You had to make sure to emphasize the lights part, right?
Well, I've kind of accepted that they're going to happen. And shoot, even at this point, Burke said that they were going to happen once we get around to it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you got to remember, when other stadiums add lights, it's usually part of a renovation. It should have been part of like the 2003, 2004 renovations, but that never happened.
And honestly, I can understand why they didn't happen back in, because most of the Big Ten still didn't have lights back then. I mean, Ohio State didn't have them. Michigan didn't have them. Michigan State still didn't.
Purdue still has more night games in its history than Michigan has had night games. But Michigan's also weird. And, they beg for noon games here for some ungodly reason.
You know, back in 2003, another factor, Minnesota didn't even have their own off-campus stadium at the time.
True. So, and I think at the time they were looking at adding a deck.
They were going to add, the plan was to add an upper deck on the east side, and then phase three at the time was going to be an upper deck on the north end zone. It would have put the capacity around 80,000.
Yeah, so at that point, there would have been no point to add lights at that point, because you'd have to take them down to add the deck. It's funny how we were back in just over a decade ago, Purdue was thinking about adding seats, and now
Morgan took out seats. Yeah, I mean, Morgan dropped a substantial amount of. I mean, I don't remember how many were in the south end zone, but I know it dropped just below 60,000.
It was about 6,000 because, from what I read, those used to be the bleachers in Lambert Fieldhouse when basketball played there.
Yes, that's true.
And then they needed extensive renovation, and so Burke was like, well, we're going to be renovating this in 10 years, so we might as well just take it down.
And now we have Morgantown, the beer garden.
Which isn't a bad thing. It'd be nice.
It has mysterious powers, though, because what happened last year? Went to Morgantown, had a few drinks, and we beat Nebraska. Yesterday, we're struggling. I go to Morgantown, have two beers. We score two touchdowns and take the lead.
Last year was weird because, like, the first two games I went to for Purdue was the game at Michigan State and then Nebraska. Like, I saw them score more points in those two games than they did, like, the rest of the season against the other Big Ten schools. I don't know what powers I brought suddenly.
So, we need Juan. We need to be drinking in Morgantown.
I will be there for the Iowa game. For our most hated rivals.
There we go. There's your upset. I've also had a strange feeling about the Penn State game being an upset. I don't know why. Like probably because earlier, Penn State sucks.
No, Penn State is terrible. Michigan's quarterback, William Spite, said they ran the same play 8 times. The exact same play, and he was trying not to laugh.
That's nice. So, that's nice. I like hearing that.
It's good to hear that, because last year, you know, and coaches were saying anonymously that they had no idea what Purdue was doing. I guess Penn State can take those jokes for this week at least.
Well, very interesting. So there's our roadmap to a bowl. We beat Illinois, we beat Northwestern, we beat Penn State, and then we beat Indiana and get our bucket back.
We need that bucket.
Yes.
We're going to have to, if Purdue beats IU and gets the bucket back, we're going to have to call a hazmat team to inspect the bucket because God knows what they put in there.
This is the longest stretch that it's been gone in almost 70 years.
Yeah.
That's how depressing it is looking at Hazel's tenure. That's a fireable offense alone is that. It is thinking that if we lose the bucket game this year, and I still kind of expect to lose it because I think Indiana is still a better team than Purdue. I will say quite honestly.
I think Wake Forest is better than what people expected.
Right. I mean, they're undefeated. If we lose the bucket to Indiana again this year, it'll be 4 in a row. It'll be the longest streak that they've ever had it. That was 69 years ago when they did that.
Nice.
Now, here we go. Another reason that we're getting less miles. The last time Indiana won 4 in a row, Purdue followed it with a 13-0-1 streak where they didn't give it back for 14 years. There we go.
I'm okay with that.
And we hire less miles with his success. Boom, another run.
Exactly. Although in the 3 years that IU has had the bucket, they probably still haven't been able to count all the P's on there.
That's just true, yeah.
They have trouble counting past 5.
And speaking of the bucket, one of the more hilarious ones that I saw in our mentions today, someone actually suggested that we, instead of if we can't get less miles, that we hire Cam Cameron.
I mean, we've had the last couple of years, so anything would be an upgrade.
No, we're not hiring Cam Cameron. Cam Cameron failed in Indiana. He failed. He didn't go to a bowl 1 year because he was dumb enough to start Antoine Randle L at receiver in their opener.
I did not know about this. I'm pulling up his Wikipedia. I'm just like, oh, crap. Never mind. Yes. I take everything I said.
Cameron's final season, although they went 5-6.
He is a Michigan man, so, you know, there's a whole game against Michigan in 2017.
But Cam Cameron, in his final season in 2001, Indiana went 5-6. They actually beat, I think I remember them saying that they would not go to a bowl, yet they won all three of their trophy games against, at the time, Kentucky, Purdue, and I believe Michigan State, whereas Purdue would go to a bowl and lost all three of their trophy games to Illinois, Notre Dame, and Indiana. Well, they went 5-6, and one of the reasons that they went 5-6 is in the season opener at North Carolina State, he felt that it would be better to put Randall L. at receiver and start someone else at quarterback than have the ball in Randall L.'s hands every single play. And someone suggested that we have this man as our head coach.
Yeah.
I feel like your stunned silences need to stay when you do the edit on this one.
Yeah, I'll keep it in there. I'm just... Well, because part of me is just like, wow, I was so ignorant to all of this, too. Why the hell was I thinking that this was a good option? Shit, I even told one of our readers that this might be a good option. And I'm like, oh, crap, I got to take all of that back. Crap, crap.
Yes, yes, yes. We would be hiring somebody who Indiana fired.
Well, okay, so we got Nebraska laughing at us. Now we can get IU laughing at us. You know, it's just part of the thing.
And following that up with, if Hazel were to lose a fourth straight bucket game, and then we can him, and then we hire Cam Cameron, who couldn't win the bucket in Indiana, and we're trusting him to win it at Purdue? I think on that note, we should probably start winding things down. One of the positives that I did want to mention to people, if you do get to West Lafayette, get over to Mackey Arena and see the John Wooden statue. They did an excellent job with it. I like where it's placed, even in the little alcove with the Pyramid of Success behind it. The landscaping around it looks great, and it's just a wonderful statue to look at. You can walk right up to it, stand next to it. Put some pictures up yesterday on Hammer and Rails, our site. But yes, we have a website. Imagine that.
Really?
Yeah, I know.
Breaking news. We have a website.
I'm a little punchy right now, so.
I had no idea.
Put some pictures up at the site yesterday, and it looks great. Get over and take a look at it. You'll be pleasantly surprised. It's a nice addition to the exterior of Mackey Arena, just steps off of John Wooden Drive, and it's placed between the IAF and... The alcove is between the IAF, the Mackey Arena, and the new West Club section that they build onto Mackey, and it looks really nice.
So I'm just laughing because there's a picture of you like trying to block John Wooden or trying to defend him, and then in the background I see on the pyramid one of the things is self-control. I don't know if you were following that, Travis.
Oh no, I don't have any self-control. That went out the window a long time ago. So
yeah, we knew.
So on that note, do you have any final thoughts for us, Juan?
Not really. I just gotta say it was a great football weekend. Purdue won.
Yeah.
We got to see Notre Dame lose to Duke.
Yes, that was...
IU lost. Michigan State got pounded at home against Wisconsin, although that makes me scared.
And one more time, we have to mention, for a good laugh, not only did Notre Dame lose to Duke, they then fired their defensive coordinator, and they are turning to Greg Hudson to save things.
I don't know if I'll be including this in the cold open, but I mean, I'd have faith if Greg Hudson was a defensive coordinator in the SEC, then we'd know he'd be successful. But at Notre Dame, yeah, he's probably not going to do too hot.
Well, it worked out for Jim Coletto the last time.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, all things worked out well then. Anyway, on that note, we're gonna call it a day. We'll hopefully have another one of these maybe after the Maryland game. Depends. But if you're in the D.C. area, yeah, I will be there. So will Ledman, our lawyer that's going to help us start our meth empire once we get the science of that, all that going on. And I probably should stop talking right now. I'm going to implicate us and get us in jail.
Nah, I think we'll be fine. Who listens to this part of the podcast anyway?
This is true. So anyway, for myself and for Juan, we thank you for listening. And let's go try and get a second straight, one of those elusive winning streaks when it comes to football.